This evening we're kicking off a new series, and we are looking at the Holy Spirit. And our new series is entitled God's Spirit in God's People for God's World. And Jenny has written us a blurb, and it says, God's Holy Spirit poured out on his people transforms the world. We'll explore and experience together what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God as his disciples for his purposes in the world. And as this is the first week, I thought maybe we should start by thinking a little bit about who the Holy Spirit is. And this might be oversimplified, but when I was a child, I had the Trinity described to me as being like a plant. And the roots are God, the Father. They're the bits you can't see, but they're supporting everything. You don't know they're there, but they're supporting everything. You just can't see them. Jesus is God, the plant. He's a bit you can see, you can physically touch. People physically interacted with Jesus. They physically interacted with God, the plant. And the Holy Spirit is the scent. You can walk into a room and know that there's flowers there before you've even seen them, just because of the smell. You don't need to see the Holy Spirit to know that it's there, to experience it, to feel it. So, who is he? He was there in the beginning, hovering over the waters in Genesis. And he resided in the tabernacle of the Israelites during their Exodus. And he filled God's chosen people throughout the Old Testament. And now, because of Pentecost, he has been given to us as a gift that is accessible to all who ask. Ever since Jesus' death and resurrection, God no longer needs a tent or a temple to contain him. Instead, he desires to dwell within us. And he does so by sending his Spirit to reside in us. And this isn't just a piggyback or a free ride. It's no longer just a tent or a place for him to dwell. We are not just venues, but vessels. We hear the Spirit called the Helper or the Advocate. Now, if my phone didn't have any signal, it could still do loads of stuff. I can still use my phone as a calculator or as a torch, as an alarm clock. I can play games on it. My phone does loads of stuff. But it doesn't achieve its actual potential until it's connected to something, until it's connected to something bigger than it. I can't use my phone as a phone until it has signal. And without the Holy Spirit, I can still do loads of stuff. I can still go about my everyday life, but I don't achieve my actual potential in this world until I'm connected to something else, until I'm connected to the Holy Spirit. It says, God's Holy Spirit poured out onto his people transforms the world. It transforms us. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring together the role that we get to play in the Holy Spirit's mission to transform the world. Starting with how the Holy Spirit changes us. Now, when we think about what we can achieve with the Holy Spirit inside of us, we tend to focus on the gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians. Does anyone know any? Want to shout some out? Any of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit in Corinthians?
Prophecy. Tongues.
Patience. Any more? What is that? Gifts and fruits. Any more? Healing. Knowledge. Any more? Translation of tongues, yeah. Miracles. How many do we think there are? 9. Yeah. 9, 8, 7, 12. Well, the verse in Corinthians reads, the Holy Spirit is given to each of us in a special way. That is for the good of all. To some people, the Spirit gives a message of wisdom. To others, the same Spirit gives a message of knowledge. To others, the same Spirit gives faith. To others, that one Spirit gives gifts of healing. To others, he gives the power to do miracles. To others, he gives the ability to prophesy. To others, he gives the ability to tell the spirits apart. To others, he gives the ability to speak in different languages they had not known before. And still to others, he gives the ability to explain what is said in those languages. All the gifts are produced by one and the same Spirit. He gives the gifts to each person as he decides. And now I've struggled to find a definitive list that agrees upon how many gifts there are. They seem to range between 7 and 12, depending on which version of the Bible you are reading. But perhaps we are putting limitations on God by saying there is a number of gifts that he can give us. And that number is as high as 12. That's all that God has for us. I think from this chapter here, we have wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, deciphering spirits, tongues, and interpreting tongues. I know a lot of us will have learnt this list at some point, and I'm pretty sure I taught it to the kids recently. We are all taught to eagerly desire these gifts. But where does it say they are the only gifts? It says all the gifts are produced by one and the same Spirit. But where does it say that this is an exclusive list? We should eagerly desire all of the gifts of the Spirit, including those we read of in Corinthians. But I would love to encourage you this evening not to write off your gift if it doesn't be included in this list. Because the title that I've been given for tonight's talk and for the first in a series looking at the Holy Spirit is the creative Holy Spirit. Because tonight, before anything else, we are celebrating his creativity. A few years ago, me and my friend went to a church together, and it was a church that neither of us had been to before, and we both left fairly uninspired. Throughout the worship, they had a laser light show going on, and they had massive kind of LED screens everywhere that had professional graphics going on throughout everything. And it all just felt like a big show. And it all felt like a massive distraction from the one person we had gone there to worship, the one person we went there to focus on. And we left saying it was really impressive, but that could never be my regular church. And then flash forward a few years, and he's now a regular attendee at that church. And I said to him, so what changed? What changed? Why do you go there now? And he said, well, we just didn't get it. He said, some people are really gifted with healing, and that's how they worship. And some people are really gifted speakers and really, really wise people, and that's how they worship. And some people are really gifted designers. And so they worship by choreographing laser light shows or making these amazing graphics put up on the screens or orchestrating a service from utter chaos into something so beautiful that it almost looks produced. It looks like a show. He was like, we just didn't get it. That is their worship. That's how they're serving the Lord. What we had seen as distractions was somebody else's worship and somebody else facilitating other people to worship in the same way. It was somebody using their God-given talents to worship. And I wonder if anyone else in this room has ever experienced a situation like that on both sides. I know there are a lot of creatives in the room. Maybe you've felt as though your gifts aren't as important as the people from the Corinthian list, the people who are out healing and speaking in tongues and performing miracles. Or maybe if you've got those gifts, maybe like me at that church, you've sometimes been perplexed by how much time and effort is put in to making sure the sound is correct or making sure the lighting and the correct fonts are chosen. But a learning point that I've taken from this is I think you'd struggle to look around at the beauty of creation and convince yourself that God isn't concerned with creativity. Which brings us on nicely to the actual verse I was asked to focus on this evening. Not the list in Corinthians, and not even post-Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was released to all of us as a free gift. We'll be celebrating Pentecost together in a few weeks, but the Holy Spirit was working way before that. This evening we're in Exodus, and the Israelites are building the tabernacle. They appreciate and understand the reverence of God, and they are building a place for him to dwell. Moses is definitely one of my biblical heroes. I feel like he doesn't get an easy ride of it. He's constantly trying to keep the Israelites on the straight and narrow, and on multiple occasions he saves their life, because so many times God is like, they've rebelled too many times, I'm just going to kill them all. And Moses is like, please God, I will put them back. I will fix this. Just give me your spirit and I can sort this out. I'll help them. I feel like he's really underrated as a character. They moan about being slaves, so he prays to God and they are freed from Egypt. Then they moan about having no food, so he prays to God and they're given food. Then they moan about having no water, so he prays to God and they are given water. And they look to him as their leader and as their representative for God. And so his words have real weight. And here we see as he oversees a collection of the building materials. We are in Exodus 35, verse 30. I don't know what page that's in, but someone shout it out. 95. Then Moses said to the Israelites, See, the Lord hath chosen Beazel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Aholiab, son of Ashimach, the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with the skills to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers. So Beazel, Aholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord commanded. And then Moses summoned Beazel and Aholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given the ability and who was willing to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord has commanded to be done." Hundreds of years before we read about the gifts of the Spirit in Corinthians, we're introduced to the gift of skills and artistry and masonry and design and the ability to teach others to do the same. Moses, the mouthpiece of God, declares that these people have been given the Spirit of the Lord. He celebrates their giftings and he puts them to work. He doesn't just let them design it or let them make suggestions, but he lets them get on with it. It says they received from him the work. They received from him the materials. He let them take control of the projects. Moses begins by proclaiming the Lord has chosen these people, and then he allows them to fulfill their giftings, and he hands over the job to them. And these are not token jobs. It's not like the little girl in the Nativity in Love Actually, who comes home and excitedly says, "I'm playing the first lobster." Because clearly her teachers just invented roles to try and make her feel important. These are not token jobs. Moses, who is God's chosen leader, is tasked with building this incredible holy dwelling place of the Lord. And here we see him delegating the task. We see him giving the job to the people who have different skills to him, but that he recognizes are filled with the Spirit of the Lord. So what's so important is knowing where your skills lie and how to best utilize them. Thinking back to that list in Corinthians, I hope I've encouraged you already to realize it's not an exclusive list. And though we should eagerly desire them, we should also recognize that gifts come in far more shapes and sizes than that. And the following verses go on to say that we are all parts of the same body. It says, "A foot could not say that because I'm not a hand, I am not part of this body." In the same way that a skilled artisan could not say, "Because I have never spoken in tongues, I do not have a role in this kingdom." Moses recognized that the Lord had anointed and poured out his Spirit onto his chosen people. And he happily trusted the Lord's purposes in doing this. Because God doesn't make decisions lightly. And when God moves, he does so with a purpose. Not just because a beautiful work of art was being formed, but a dwelling place of the Lord was being created. A place that was so holy and so important that it allowed God to dwell with his chosen people long before they were washed free of their sins, long before Jesus came to die to them to atone for them. Another example that I want to share this evening of the creativity of the Holy Spirit is found in the book of Samuel. We read that Saul is no longer fit to be king, and a new king needs to be found, and Samuel is given the job of appointing him. So with God's approval, Samuel goes and chooses David, and he anoints David, this young boy, this child. And it says that once he's anointed, the Spirit of the Lord rushes upon him. And now, does anyone know what David's next job was after being filled with the Holy Spirit? What? Yeah, he goes on to play, I forgot how to pronounce it, Lyre? Lyre. was practicing earlier how to pronounce that. He becomes a musician. It says he gets filled with the Holy Spirit and his next job is becoming a musician. He doesn't rush out into the streets and speak in tongues and pray for people and start healing people. He becomes a musician. That's his next job. And with the Spirit of God that rests in him, he uses his skills as a musician to cast out the evil, harmful spirits that are in Saul. It says that Saul, after losing God's favor, is then hounded by evil spirits. He's hounded by dark spirits that reside within him. And it says, whenever David played the lyre, those spirits go, those spirits leave him. He uses an existing skill within him with the Holy Spirit to cast out the evil demons. He used his gift for a God-given purpose. And it wasn't like he was the only musician in the area. And although it says he was highly skilled, I don't expect that he was the best because he was only a child. But he was chosen because the people knew the Lord favored him. He took his ability to play music, and with the Spirit of the Lord within him, he used it to achieve God's purposes. The Holy Spirit is creative, and he will use what you give him. I preached here once, and a girl came up to me afterwards, and she was like, you said this one thing. She told me what I'd said, and she was like, it was amazing. I really needed to hear it. It totally spoke to me, and it really spoke to what I'm going through in my life right now. And it was really amazing because I hadn't said that. I hadn't said it. It was nowhere in my notes. It was nothing to do with what I'd preached on. But it was amazing because she'd heard what she needed to hear. And God had spoken through me, had used my words, and she had heard what she needed to hear in that situation. Whatever I had spoken on, the Holy Spirit had other plans. Whatever your gift, God can use it for his purposes. When they were designing the tabernacle, there were probably people who looked at it as just a piece of artwork. But there were others who saw it as a work of God. And when David was playing, everyone else in the room probably just heard music. But to Saul, he was relieved from a harmful spirit. And actually, when I met John, I was an English literature student, and he was and worked in IT. And God said, I'm going to use your gift to writing essays. I'm going to help you to write talks. He said to John, I'm going to use your gift in IT. I'm going to help you to become a worship leader. The Holy Spirit is creative, and he will use what you give him. A lot of you will have heard the phrase, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not force himself into your life. He will fill you, but only if you ask him to do so. I think sometimes we get scared that if we ask the Holy Spirit into our lives, then suddenly we'll have to do lots of things that scare us, like speaking in funny languages, or feeling compelled to rush out into the street and pray for strangers, or praying for healing for people, even if you're worried that it might not work. But tonight we've heard of stories of the Holy Spirit using people's existing skills and existing passions, giving them new skills, new passions, and enhancing them, placing them in situations where they are vital and integral players in the kingdom, not just the painters and decorators of Exodus or a musician of Saul, but using what God blessed them with to write our history. Maybe one day the Holy Spirit will ask you to share a word of knowledge with someone in the street that you don't know. But he might also ask you to take your passions in life and play an integral role in making the earth look more like heaven. Don't let the fear of the unknown stop you from desiring more of the Spirit. Don't be put off by what sometimes can seem like an impossible task. I'm sure that if you said to David as a child, I want you to go to Saul and cast out those harmful spirits, he wouldn't have known where to start. But God's Holy Spirit rushed upon him and it became natural to him. It was just something he did every day. It took something he did every day and he did something miraculous with it, did something incredible with it. One of our favorite verses here at church is, whatever you do, do as if you are working for God and not for men. And so whatever your week looks like, if it's data analysis or fashion design or preaching or caring for others or chopping vegetables, ask God for his Holy Spirit and see what he can do with you. Because the Holy Spirit is creative and he will use what you give him. So I'm going to ask you to do something now which will make you feel uncomfortable. Hopefully on the way in, you all got given a post-it note. If you didn't, Charlotte will rush from the back and give post-it notes out to everyone. And you will need pens as well. John, are you happy to come back up and start playing? Cheers. So, here's the uncomfortable bit. On your post-it note, I would love for you to write something that you are really good at. If I said to you, write something you're really bad at, I'm sure you'd do that really easily. I'm sure we can all think of things we need to improve on. But I want you to write something that you are really good at. Write a skill you have, a gift you have. And then I would love, if you feel comfortable to do so, to pray in twos or threes or small groups. Turn to the people around you. I'd love to encourage you to pray with one another, because Moses wasn't afraid to say, do you know what, you've got a gift in this that I haven't. And so I want to pray, I want to give you this job, I want to encourage you in this. That's another reason I really love Moses, is that I feel like he tried so hard to get the Israelites to the promised land. And then God was like, actually, no, you're not going to be the one that's going to complete this job. I want somebody else to take the Israelites into the promised land. And Moses didn't fight with him. He didn't throw a strop, he didn't get angry. He said, okay, God, somebody else has got a gift in this and I want to encourage that gift. So I would love for you to write down something that you are really, really good at, a gift that you have, a skill that you have, and I would love for you to pray together to encourage one another in your gift. And every time you look at it, I want you to think, this is something I'm good at, and God can use this to do amazing things. And I was going to say to you, for you to put it in your purse or put it in your wallet or take it home with you. And I still want you to do that. But when we were praying earlier, we were asking God for words and pictures. And before I had mentioned that I was doing this, and before I said I was going to use post-it notes, I said, a woman was praying with us, and she said, I've got this picture of this game that you play sometimes, where you write something down on a post-it note and you stick it to your forehead. And then other people have to try and explain to who you are. You don't know what's on your forehead, but you have to explain it. But I want you to write down what you're good at and then stick it to your forehead. I want you to show the world what you are good at. Don't just hide it in your purse. I want you to show everyone else, this is a gift I have, this is a skill I have, this is how God has blessed me, and I'm going to use this to bless the world. I'm going to use this to invite the Holy Spirit into me, and we're going to bless the world through it. Jenny's blurb, I'll read it one more time. Jenny's blurb was, God's Holy Spirit poured out onto his people transforms the world. We will explore and experience together what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God as his disciples for his purposes in the world. So I'm going to pray, and then I would like you guys go crazy. Pray for one another. Yeah, Lord, I thank you that you are a God of creativity and a God of fun. I thank you that you used skilled artisans, skilled workers to build your dwelling place. And it wasn't just a work of art, but it was somewhere so amazing and so important that you could be there. Your Holy Spirit, who cannot be in a place of sin, you could be there. You could dwell there because it was so incredible. And I thank you for giving your Holy Spirit to those people to allow them to do that. And I thank you for the example of David, who was just such an ordinary person, and he used an ordinary skill that he already had, and he used it to do incredible things, to cast out demons. And so I pray for every single person in front of me with a post-it note stuck on their head. And I pray that you use that gift, that you use that skill you've given them, and you use it to do incredible things in this world, to change this world in ways they never thought they could, to change this world in ways that they couldn't possibly do without your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much. Amen.